Plant Talk with Dave Decock is on the air and is brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood. And welcome back to the studio, Dave Decock.
Well, it's great to be here.
We already have questions coming in for you, so let's just get right into it. Someone wants to know, when should we be putting down pre-emergent? Is it okay to treat Creeping Charlie now?
I think with Creeping Charlie, at least mine isn't that actively growing yet. You want it actively growing, so I'd give it a couple more weeks of nice weather so that Creeping Charlie can actually be going. Typical pre-emergences usually put it down about the 10th of May. Okay. It may be different this year depending on how it warms up.
You got some time on that, though.
You got time on that, yeah.
Okay.
It's just sort of it's like a magic trick, right? We can all see what's going on because we can see the grass, but it's not time for the poof yet.
Right.
Someone wants to know, what should I do to prepare my garden soil for Brussels sprouts?
I think Brussels sprouts would go fine here because they are in the same families as cabbage. And if you have good luck with cabbage, which I'm sure most people around here do, Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, they're all coal crops. C-O-L-E crops, and they like cooler conditions. They don't have to be in absolute full sun, but good sun is good. But I'm not sure you have to do anything specific for them. You could do a soil test to find out what the nitrogen level in the soil is. That would be the only one thing, because the coal crops, it's mostly leaves and that kind of thing we're trying to get. So you could check the nitrogen level or just put a regular garden fertilizer on and just assume that you're not putting too much on.
What about raking the lawn? Have you been out there raking your lawn yet, Dave?
No, I haven't, but I should. I've got one patch in my backyard which got snow mold, and I don't know why I've got that snow mold there, but I think it's probably because it warmed up and it's an area where the snow stayed there and it didn't melt away.
Sure.
I need to get out there and fluff that up, but if you certainly could rake now, but use a leaf rake if you rake. Don't use a garden rake or anything with solid tines because that can pull the grass or damage the grass plants.
And I think
a leaf rake wouldn't be a problem.
Okay. And I think you had said last week that you had already trimmed up your apple tree or pruned your apple trees.
Right, I did. We had some nice weather before we got the latest cold weather. So I was out there. I had nothing else to do. So I got them all clipped and got it all cleaned up.
So you can prune fruit trees, apple trees right now?
Oh, for sure. It's a great time to do it.
Okay, perfect. And are we seeing a lot of rabbit damage this year? They had a lot to choose from. There wasn't a lot of snow.
Yeah, I think there was a lot. I don't know. I haven't noticed it. There may be some spots that they are, but I've seen them around, but I haven't seen much damage. So my guess would be it's probably not.
So we mentioned that you can prune apple and other fruit trees right now. What about other trees and shrubs in your yard? Is now a good time or should you wait?
They could be done. The non-evergreens could be done now, but you need to keep in mind if you're pruning things like lilacs, if you want flowers this year, you don't want to prune them now. Things like maples or birch, if you prune them before they get leafed out, they'll leak a lot of sap out when they do start to grow. So with those, if you don't want the sap dripping out of all the cut wounds, you wait until after they get leafed out.
Dave, what about trees that took damage during the winter? Like maybe the wind kind of caught and brought down a branch or two. How do you trim it up to kind of clean it up?
Well, what you want to do if it's a broken branch or something and you're going to take the branch off, you want to go back to the main trunk and make your cut there, make a nice clean cut. And if you don't want to go that far back and it's just broke, make sure that if it's broke, it's a cut that isn't nice and smooth. Make another cut, something that's going to be smooth so it heals up fairly nicely.
What if you have something that is like a split? Like, have you ever seen where someone puts a big, giant bolt in there and brings it together?
Right. You can certainly do that. If you got a tree that's fairly narrow crotched, you can go up above that and drill a hole through and put a threaded rod or a cable or something between the two to hold them together. But it's a good idea. If that seems to be a problem, you want to get it done before it splits, because once it splits, there's no way you can get that back up there and get it fixed.
Okay, Dave, let's go to the phone lines. Brad is waiting to chat with you.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Hey, I had a Sienna Glen maple that was tree spaded about 2009, and then got to be about 12 years old, and it was growing at such an incredible pace, and then it just suddenly stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And so I trimmed it out and cleaned it up really well.
Right.
But then I noticed it had a girdling root. It had a choking root.
Ah, right. Okay.
And it left you know what? I carefully removed that. Mm-hmm. YouTube is great. It shows you how to do anything.
Right.
But I removed that choking root carefully. So it's been about 2 years, and it hasn't increased its growth too much. Does it take longer?
They moved it with a tree spade, right?
They put it in with a tree spade.
Okay.
So it was a bigger tree.
Okay. Now, did they dig it with a tree spade too, or was it just an abundance?
Yes.
They dug it with a tree spade. Then it should not. It should not really have a problem with the girdling roots.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Girdling
roots.
Yeah.
I removed it really carefully, and it had a big indent, you know, just below ground level.
Right. That's
and
okay.
It seems to be growing. Yep.
That'll heal up. Yeah. And that's very something very commonly that happens with trees or shrubs that are smaller that come in pots. If they've been growing in the pot too long, the roots start growing around there. And a lot of people will just take them, dig the holes, take it out of the pot, slip it right in, rather than pull those roots apart around the edges of the pot or, you know, where the pot was so that they get them pulled apart. And they will grow fairly good, too, for a period of time. And then they really stop because the roots have girdled themselves so badly. So when you plant something, you need to get that pulled. The roots that were around the edge of the pot, that all needs to be pulled out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can do much with this. Maybe fertilize it. See if that doesn't stimulate a little something.
Yeah, it should go. I was really careful. I didn't damage anything. The root, you know, when you remove the choking root, it popped away clean without a break in the trunk.
Hopefully there is more further down that are wrapped, too.
Yeah, but it was tree spaded in and out, and so it was really surprising. But I'll keep it's healthy, but it's just not growing much.
What might have happened too is maybe the original people that planted them, to move them later.
Yeah.
Maybe when they planted them, they didn't pull those roots apart, and the roots are wrapped because of the original pot they were planted from. That might have happened too, because usually with the tree spade there isn't a problem.
Yeah, I'll stick with it. I was just curious how long it would take before.
You really don't know. Yeah, you just have to. As long as it's healthy, even if it's not growing fast, as long as it's healthy and you fertilize it, stimulate growth, you're okay.
If there's something seriously wrong,
it'll be gone. Okay. Yeah. Bye bye.
Yep. Bye bye.
Plant Talk on KFGO is brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood. Dave, more questions from our text club at 35270. Is there anything we can do to the ash trees to help prevent emerald ash borer from killing them?
Well, there is a product. It's called BioAdvanced. It's a 12-month insect protection material. Something that you buy, it comes in a blue container. Now, it's also Fertilome is another brand name that also has that product. Bunite is another one. But what it does is it goes down, you pour it around the trunk, it goes down into the soil, the roots take it up, and as it flows up, when the birch borer comes there, lays their eggs, or any eggs hatch out, the little larvae that hatch out from the eggs, when they make contact with this chemical, it kills them. So it's helpful. It's one of the things you can do for protection. And you want to do it in the spring of the year. But I'm not sure what the name of the chemical is, but I know on the container, it's a blue container. It's called BioAdvanced 12-Month Insect Protection. And that is something that will be taken up in the sap flow, and it would kill the little worms that hatch out. The bark beetle is a lot like the birch borer. It lays its egg into the trunk, the eggs hatch out, and then they burrow around under the trunk between the bark and the growing wood. They go there, and when they go around all the way around, of course, it prevents the sap from flowing up. So it's important that there is something there when the eggs hatch out from the birch borer. Eggs hatch out, so it kills these larvae before they can do their damage. So that's what I would try.
I mean, that's a hot tip. I hope people turned up their radios for that one.
Yeah,
that was good stuff.
And I would do it. You know, I do it reasonably soon because once the trees start to leaf out, they're going to take up a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
And when they take up the moisture, they'll take up the chemical with it. And that's what we want to happen. And it's supposed to be good for 12 months, so that's great, too.
Yeah, that is great. You don't have to keep going back and doing it. Yeah.
And you'll see the container of stuff. It'll say 12 months on there. So that's what you're looking for.
Okay, good tip from Dave Decock. Plant Talk is on the air. Plant Talk with Dave Decock on KFGO is brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood.
Okay, Dave, a caller called in and said rabbits have been eating the tips of her tulips.
That doesn't surprise me. You know, rabbits are totally stupid. You know, they'll eat something nice and green rather than some old grass that's brown or some bark off a tree. So, and that's not a big deal with the tulips because the tulip will grow back.
Okay.
And as we get more and more green things, there'll be less problem with the tulips.
Okay. So just wait it out.
Yeah. It's like the tips of tulips freezing when it's really cold and they sometimes turn brown because they get froze. That's fine. The tulip will recover from that.
Okay. We have an email from Kathy. Kathy asks, we have a red maple that the last couple of years has had gall mites. That's the one we were talking about, gall mites.
Okay.
Would now be a good time to treat it? And what would you use?
Well, I'm not sure right now would be a good time to treat it. You know, you could use the same product we were talking about using for the borers on the ash trees. Because what happens is there's an insect, a mite that feeds on the leaf. When it feeds on the leaf develops a red growth that responds to the feeding, and that's the gall. The gall isn't the insect. The mite is the insect. But I would say try using this material I mentioned before. It's called BioAdvanced. It's in a blue bottle. It's got 12-month insect protection. I would use that. And now when you get it, you can read the directions and based on the diameter of the trunk of the tree is the amount of material that you put down around the trunk. You don't go all the way out either. You just pour it around the trunk. And then when the moisture comes, it washes it down to the roots. The roots take it up. And when the leaves come out, it gets in the leaves. And when the mite starts feeding on the leaf, this will kill the mite. So that's your best shot trying to do it. Once the gall is actually on the trees, it's a cosmetic problem. The galls don't really hurt the tree. It's just that they look bad. So if that bothers you, then get this BioAdvanced. And like I mentioned before, there's other brands too besides BioAdvanced. There's a Fertilome. It's another product of an insecticide. Bonide's another one. It's all for 12-month insect control. So if you get some that, you try using that and follow the directions, and hopefully that will take care of the galls.
Someone said, I've been quoted $300 to spray my lawn with two treatments. They won't do one. Is it feasible to buy the hardware and chemical to do it myself?
Sure. There's no problem. I'm not sure that depends on how many times you want to do it. But from what I've heard in the past, generally getting the equipment and buying the spray and doing it yourself, it isn't that much cheaper than getting somebody to do it. But there is a lot of, if you're in Fargo Hill, there's a lot of people that do this. So just because one person quoted you $300 doesn't mean there's not a lot of other people around too.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. You shop around because there's all kinds of guys in that business.
Someone said, I've got a concrete wall that I'd like to plant something that would climb and cover the wall. Any recommendations?
Well, some of the ivies will be good. Like Inglenut ivy is very aggressive. So it would be something that would cover your wall and would get up on that wall.
Engelmann ivy, is that the stuff that also turns really pretty colors in the fall?
I don't know if Engelmann is good. There's another ivy that gets a better fall color, but Engelmann is more more vigorous.
Okay.
So yeah, it's aggressive.
It's aggressive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it'll eventually try and come out into your lawn and stuff like that too. So you have to not be afraid to do some clipping when you get Engelmann ivy going because it's going to, and when you do clip it, it'll be right back. So,
I read online someone said, I don't want to see my neighbor's ivy.
Yes. Okay, back to the text club here. Lots of questions coming in. We cut a 3-inch branch off our weeping birch a couple of weeks ago. Do we need to apply anything to the trunk?
Well, the thing is you could apply something, but it wouldn't do any good because the sap, when its sap starts to flow, it's going to push off whatever you put on the surface. So putting a coating on there isn't going to do any good. If you made a nice clean cut, once the sap starts to flow and it starts to leaf out, you're going to notice that the sap's going to start to ooze out from that wound. But once it gets leafed out, that wound will eventually heal over, and next year it won't be a problem.
Okay.
But this year it will leak out, but that's not a big deal. It's just a problem if it bothers you having the sap drip out.
I put metal coffee cans, bottom cut off, around my tulips to keep the rabbits away. If it gets too bad, If it gets too big, I use chicken wire.
Right. You can do all those things. You don't need to because the tulips will come back.
Okay.
Once we get lawns, get green and grow and everything, the rabbits will have a lot to eat. It'd be a lot less of a problem. If you really want to keep them away, you could put mothballs or something on the ground around those tulips, and the smell of the mothballs would probably keep the rabbits away, especially if there's green grass they can be eating someplace else.
Okay, someone wants to know about beating their apple tree. They said, Dave, when exactly this spring should I beat on the trunk of my apple tree to get it to blossom this year? Hold on, Dave, is this normal? They planted it in 2016 and have no apples yet.
I wonder if they've had flowers or not, because sometimes you'll get flowers. It depends on the variety, too. Some varieties are slow. Like a Honeycrisp is fairly slow to produce. Harrelson or Red Harrelson, they're fairly fast to produce. So it depends a lot on the variety, too. The thing to do, if you've had it that long, don't give it any water, don't give it any fertilizer. Anything you can do to stress the tree is good. Beating on the trunk is, you know, it's something used to be done, but the problem with that is you end up with a lot of wounds in the bark, and that's not good.
Okay, so don't do that. But that is, 8 years is a long time to wait.
It's a long time. It's a long time. But the variety has something to do with it, too. Okay. So
they better be good apples when they get here.
Right, they better be. But anything you can do to stress it, don't fertilize it, don't water it, don't do anything. Put it under a little stress. Now, you're not going to get, you know, whatever you do now isn't going to be in effect this year, because the flowers you get this year, those buds were set last year. So if it's going to flower this year, it's something that is from last year. So abusing the tree now isn't going to get you flowers this year if they weren't going to be there.
Okay. No. So bad or good news, you don't have to beat your tree. I'm not sure.
No.
However you look at it. It is Plant Talk here on KFGO, taking all your lawn and garden questions, is Dave Decock. Plant Talk with Dave Decock is brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood. Back to the text club we go, and someone wants to know, can you ask Dave when we should plant strawberries?
Well, planting strawberries would be like planting flowers outside in the spring of the year. Once it warms up enough so the soil is easily worked and not real cold, would be fine to plant. I would guess probably May would be when you consider planting.
Okay.
I mean, we don't want it real cold, but they're not super sensitive to freezing temperatures. So I would guess May would be an ideal time.
Well, this is the million-dollar question. What can I use in a raised vegetable garden to keep deer away other than some kind of fence?
I think that's probably your best bet, some kind of fence. Mm-hmm. And with deer, you're probably going to want fairly heavy fencing, because if it's anything light, they'll just push it over.
I mean, that, I, yeah, I don't, I mean, we've been doing, Dave, you've been doing this show for decades. I've been doing this show for a long time. You know, people have called in with human hair and all these
right,
other remedies.
All these kind of things.
Irish spring. Here's the deal. Deer, they're coming after your stuff.
Right.
That's right.
You're going to have to put up a fence.
And they're so used to people that it,
yes.
You know, that's why human hair doesn't faze them, because so what? So there was a human here at one time.
We live several blocks away from a park, and we had deer coming up to our house.
You have a petting zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just what, and cars are in the area. And so if a car's not going to frighten away a deer, a little bit of deer repellent isn't going to do the same thing. And trust me, I'm bummed about that, too.
Okay, this is a really random question, but I'm going to throw it out there. It's not really plant related, but maybe someone is listening right now that has an answer, and you can call or text in. Someone said, wondering if you guys know where you can get old railroad ties, was going to use them for a garden in the backyard. Would that be a good idea to have it raised up a little bit?
Right, that could be a raised bed if you're using railroad ties for a raised bed. And I know that people are sometimes concerned because of the treatment that the lumber had in railroad ties, that it might be a problem with the vegetables. But in a raised bed, usually it's not a problem, because even if there is something in the railroad ties, you're going to be watering the bed. And when you water the bed, anything that's in the railroad ties is going to wash out rather than wash into the vegetables. So railroad ties would be fine for that if you can find them. I have no idea how you'd find railroad ties.
I think some of the big box hardware stores have started carrying what they call railroad ties.
Oh, sure, but
I doubt they're actually used as in the railroad, but like they're available.
Right.
It's a good point.
And I'll tell you this. Making a railroad tie garden really, you know, simple for the most part. But when you decide you don't want it anymore, if you've ever had to take one of those things down, man alive.
I know. Man, it sounds good like point. A lot of work without even doing it.
Yeah, you might as well put dirt over it and plant on top of that.
Well, that's a good point. Dave, just a few final questions here. What types of fruit do well in our area? If someone's trying to plant, spring has sprung, maybe they've never done any gardening had a fruit tree. What do you recommend?
Apple trees are your best bet. Apple trees are your best bet. Now, you can get plum trees, cherry trees, that kind of thing, but the plums.
And pear.
Plums and cherries, yeah, and pears. Now, apples and pears are somewhat related, so they both do okay here, even though there's a lot more variety in apples. There's many, many different varieties of apples. University of Minnesota has an immense apple breeding program, and they have lots of varieties that were developed there. There's some varieties that were developed at NDSU. Pears, not nearly so much, so you have a lot more variety with apples. Now, the problem with plums or cherries or apricots is they're not long lived in heavy clay soil, so they'll be okay for a while here, but they're not going to live on and on like apple trees would. So if I was going to try it, I would try with apple trees. Now with apples, you need two different varieties to get fruit with apples. If you've got a flowering crab in the neighborhood, that's good enough because flowering crabs will pollinate apple trees. They're in the same family, so they will do that. But if you don't have any trees around at all, you need two different varieties of apples to get fruit.
Okay, Dave, we appreciate it. Thanks for another great edition of Plant Talk.
Sounds great. We'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good. We'll see you next week. Plant Talk live every Thursday during the growing season from 1 to 2 o'clock during It Takes Two with Amy and JJ. Plant Talk is brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood.